verse. 2 Samuel. I thought I had that marked. I do. 2 Samuel 23, verse 20. It's once again a privilege to be able to stand here behind this sacred desk this morning, present to you the Word of God. And I've been doing it for almost 25 years from this one church, and not a lot of guys get to stick around a church for that long. Some do, but many don't. And a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers quitting the ministry these days. I think there's one statistic says over 1,000 a week give up. It's a wonder we can fill our pulpits. Fact is, we're having trouble filling a lot of church pulpits. A lot of churches are having to close because of that very reason. But we have a strong, vibrant church here. It's not a very large. It's not a large church by any means, but it's strong. It's vibrant, and we appreciate your being a part of it today. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20. It's just a very, maybe in some ways, an obscure passage of scripture. Maybe you've read it but never really paid attention to it, but I want to read it to you today. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed lion-like heroes of Moab. I'm reading now the New King James. He had also gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. I'll go ahead and read a couple more, or down to 22 and 23. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David appointed him over his guard. Father, we bless you today. We honor you with your word. We honor you with our attention. We open our hearts up to receive what you would say to us as individuals. For we know, Lord, when this word goes forth, it'll strike a chord in different ways with different people. So bless now, Lord, that we receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, in the 23rd and 24th verse, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord." In 2 Samuel here, we see a very obscure yet courageous act. This man was a courageous man, Benaiah. Don't hear much about him. We hear about David, his boss, the king, the future king. We hear about him. We hear about Abner, and we'll hear about Joab at different times. We'll hear about different people, but we don't read much about this guy. But he did what we can consider a courageous act. His name means the Lord builds. That's what his name meant, the Lord builds. He kills a lion in the pit in the winter after a snowfall. He was an honorable man. He was a courageous man. He was a mighty man who served David. Can I just say here today as we begin that you and I are people of God who should be serving God, who should be courageous men and women of God, who should be willing to take on any task or any foe, any enemy that would come our way and do it with valor. Do it without even thinking about it. But oftentimes we don't. He was a mighty man serving David. Actually, of course, we read here that he killed two lion-like men, two heroes of Moab. Two men that were very acclaimed and renowned for their fighting abilities. He had went and took them on and killed them. He had fought an Egyptian and killed the Egyptian with his own spear. I did a little research and it said that a particular Egyptian was a giant. He was like 10 foot over 10 foot tall. His spear was like the size of a weaver's beam, which was, I didn't go ahead and research and see how big that was, but it's very large. So this guy, in a sense, had the same fighting abilities and the same anointing of God that David did when he took on Goliath. He just kind of knew that he had the favor of God and he had the abilities to do what God asked of him. So he didn't really give it a lot of thought when there was an enemy. He would just take that enemy on. And so we see the deeds of Benaiah. It's recorded that later on, he was one of David's outstanding, he didn't attain as the three, but he was the number four in his fighting abilities and his leadership abilities under David. It's what the Bible says. He didn't attain as the first three, but he was number four. When later on in his life, after David died, Solomon began to rule, and this particular captain of the host, Benaiah, became the chief captain over the armies of Israel, second in command. You know what that means, don't you? Back in those days, and even in our days today, if a man is second in command or first in command in the army, which he was, first in command, he was a commander of the army, it means that if he decided he wanted to take the kingdom, or somebody wanted to take the kingdom, that's who they would come to and say, look, we don't like the way things are going. Would you join with us? And he might even be the one that would lead the assassination attempt on the king. He was that powerful of a man. When he started out, he didn't start out that powerful, nor did he start out, I don't believe, thinking that one day I'll be second in command over Israel. One day I'll kill Joab and I'll be the top leader in the army of Israel. He didn't start out that way. Fact is, when you think about what's happening here, we wonder what was Benaiah's frame of mind when he came upon the lion in the pit. The Bible doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us where he was going. It doesn't tell us what he was doing. So what does that tell us? It tells us that sometimes we're going to face a battle. Sometimes we're going to face that old roaring lion, Satan. And it may not be that we're not going to be heading that direction to take him on. But he's going to rear up his ugly head. We're going to run across him in our journey. He was going somewhere, we don't know where, or coming back from somewhere, we don't know where. We don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was on a date. I don't know. Maybe he was hunting. We don't know. Maybe he was just on a picnic. Who knows? We don't know what he was doing. We don't know what y'all's doing over there either, do we? I'm going to look this direction. My family distracts me. And I can't help but look. Anyway, we don't know where he was going. But we know he was heading somewhere. The Bible doesn't say. However, his reaction was gutsy. His reaction was courageous. It seemed improbable that he would jump into a pit with a lion, but that took guts. In other words, to us, what's guts mean? You know, guts means you're courageous. You've got something going for you. You believe in your power. You believe in your strength. You believe in your abilities. You're courageous. I'm just going to do what I need to do. But he jumped in. If you and I were to meet a lion on the road or come upon it in a pit, the image of that man-eating beast would travel through our optical nerve and register in our visual cortex. And your brain would have one overreaching message. Run! I remember as a kid, I was going across a pond. I used to, over east of Prague, about 2 miles east of Prague, Oklahoma, my grandpa had a stock pond there, and I fished it almost every day. I mean, I fished every day practically. If I could get away from the house and get away from doing dishes, if I could sneak out and let my brothers and them do the dishes, I'd sneak out and go fishing. One day I was running across that pond dam and there's a big old snake laying across that. You know what my first reaction was? Run. You know how far I ran? 1/4 mile back to the house. Left my rod and reel and my bucket and everything sitting there. So then I had to go back. Eight or nine year old boy, that was a frightening thing. But Benaiah didn't run. He ran it all right. He ran and leapt into the pit. He jumped right in there where the lion was at. And he began to wrestle that lion. You see, normal people would run, but courageous people are not wired that way. And you and I as Christians shouldn't be so wired, so wimpy, or so afraid, so full of fear, that every time we see an obstacle, every time the devil, who as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour, we run across him, he's in a pit, we see him, say, oh no, that's the devil, I gotta go. We shouldn't be that way. We should say, oh, that's the devil. He's a toothless foe whom I have, who has already been defeated by Jesus Christ at Calvary. So I think I'll just jump in, take a hold of his mane and jerk him around just a little bit, punch him in the eye, stomp him under my feet, let him know that he is a defeated foe. But instead we run. And then we whine and we cry. We say, oh, woe is me. When actually we have the victory. We have the right to take him on. But normal people often run, but lion chasers are wired different. Courageous men and women of faith don't see a 500-pound problem. They see a God-ordained opportunity. And I tell you, church, we're always coming up against things. Instead of running from them and being afraid of them, we ought to see them as God-ordained opportunities to bring glory to God. Whatever it is you're doing in your life, you should seek to find something to do in that time, that opportunity, that sickness, that disease that you have, or that financial difficulty, or that marital problem, or that wayward child. You ought to see, whatever the problem is in your life, we all face different problems. We ought to see that as opportunities to bring glory to God. An opportunity to jump into the pit and just take it on. Show the devil and his crowd and the church and God who you really are. Instead, we just kind of say, well, I can't do that. You see, Scripture didn't give us a blow-by-blow account of what happened in the pit. It doesn't tell us whether he jumped on him, he got on his back, and he took hold of his mane, took his knife out and slit his throat. It doesn't tell if he wrestled like Tarzan used to wrestle with the lions on, you remember the most, most of y'all don't remember the most shows, do you? Well, I do. I remember the old Johnny Weissmuller days. He'd jump on them lions, or he'd jump on the back of a rhino. He would fight the fight. And he'd always win. And he was never afraid. If Jane or what was his monkey's name was involved, he would fight because they were important to him. And you and I have much more important things to fight for than they ever had or ever would have. We are fighting a fight of faith, and we need to be overcomers. And guess what? You are an overcomer. If you'll take Satan on, right on his own ground, and whatever the problem, the obstacle, the situation, run, jump in the middle of it and say, I am more than able. You can do it. We don't know what happened. All we know is that when the snow settled, the lion was dead and Benaiah was alive. We don't know if he got scratched up. We don't know if that lion bit him. We don't know if it ripped his leg half off. We don't have any account of what happened. But we do know this. There was one set of paw prints and more likely than not two sets of footprints. Why? Because Jesus jumped into the pit with him, just like the three Hebrew children when they were thrown into that fiery pit, and everyone that threw them in died. When they got up standing, their clothes was not burned, their hosen was ever no fire smell upon them, and they said, I see four men loosed into the fire, and that fourth man looks like the Son of God. We know when we fight a battle, God's with you. Jesus is with you. You don't have to fight it alone. You don't have to go this thing alone. You have God on your side. And Jesus comes to help you. So we see there that when we are in a pit fighting, our Jesus will fight with us. I don't care what you're going. Some of you have faced some mighty battles recently. There's some health issues and some different things in your lives, and you're fighting this battle and you just don't know what you're going to do. And it seems like you can't ever get past this certain point. Well, even if you've only got to this certain point, let me assure you today that Jesus is with you. Well, it don't seem like it, Pastor. Yes, he is. Just think where you'd be if he wasn't. Just think what you'd be facing if he wasn't on your side. Just think about where you'd be today if it hadn't been for the Lord. I don't know where I'd be. I know I wouldn't be where I'm at. I know I wouldn't have the victory that I have. I wouldn't have the joy that I'm experiencing.
Even through the trial, you could have joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory because I'm a born-again Christian. If we fast forward here a couple of verses into Samuel 23, verse 22, David appointed Benaiah as chief over his bodyguard. At the end of the day, when all was said and done, and David was looking for captains of the guard and appointing people to different positions, he looked at this guy and said, that's going to be my bodyguard. Anybody that'll fight a lion like I fight a lion, anybody that dares jump into the pit with a lion and takes him on and defeats him, anybody that can feed a giant like I defeated a giant is somebody I need to guard me. Somebody I need to surround me and keep me safe. God needs people who are giant killers. God needs some lion killers. God needs some people who say, I'm going to do my best to serve God regardless of the obstacle. I'm going to take it on. God can depend on me. The church can depend on me. My family can depend on me. My pastor can depend on me. My co-workers can depend on me. I'm a lion chaser. I'm a lion killer. I follow God. God needs people like that. To the people who just show up on Sunday. If it's convenient. If it fits my schedule. If I don't have anything better to do. Serving God's a full-time job. It's a full-time vocation. Your other job should be your part-time job. And I'm not telling you to quit your jobs today, by the way. I'm not telling you not to support your families. I'm not telling you not to attend their events. I'm telling you to put God first. And you can do all that other stuff and put God first. Well, you don't know that. Well, I beg your pardon. I've been pastoring 25 years. My kids have not been growing up that whole time. I raised kids up in church, and we went to their activities, and we did everything we could with them, and we helped them show hogs and sheep and fed them things for them and did all this different things. We did what it took to raise a family and to be involved in their lives. We missed some things, sure, but we didn't miss it all, and we didn't miss church. We served God in the process. You can do it. Be lion chasers. You know, the last thing on Benaniah's mind when he jumped into that pit was that he was going to make an application to be the bodyguard of the king. If I can kill this lion, I can put that on my resume, and David will appoint me as his bodyguard. He'll give me a good position. He wasn't thinking about that when he jumped into the pit. He didn't care what the future held. All he knew is that lion needed killing. That obstacle needed overcome. That situation needed resolved. And so he jumped into the pit to resolve that situation. You have to admit, however, to put on your resume, I killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Would look pretty good on his resume. You know, I killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. What about that, King? What do you think? Looks pretty good, sir. I might can use you. I'll let you know later. He wasn't worrying about that particular time. He didn't care about that. All he knew, there was a lion that needed killing. There was a job that needed done. And he was going to be the man for the job. He wasn't going to look over somebody and say, somebody needs to kill that lion. He wasn't going to go on down the trail a little ways and meet up with somebody and say, hey, I seen a lion in a pit. Somebody needs to kill it. No, he said, there's a line, there's a situation, there's a problem. Somebody needs to take care of it. I'll do it. Oh, so this has got to be resonating with somebody. If it ain't resonating with you, me and my wife's getting what I'm trying to say. There's things to be done for the kingdom. We need some lion chasers, some lion killers in here. When opportunity roars, you have to make a choice. You can run away or you can fight. Benaiah went on to have a brilliant military career. But he wouldn't have had that if he had refused to do what needed to be done when it needed to be done. He didn't say, well, we'll do that later or somebody else can do that. He said, I'll do it. I'll take that task. I'll run that race. I'll fight that fight. I'll kill the lion. I'll do what needs to be done. Eventually, like I told you earlier, he ended up being king, a captain over the whole military of Solomon during Solomon's rule. The whole Israeli army, he was over it later on in his life. He was the second most powerful man in Israel. Now, do you think he would have been the second most powerful man in Israel sometimes later in his life if when he was a young man, he had refused to follow? He had refused to fight. He had refused to jump into the pit. He had seen the 10-foot tall Egyptian with a spear the size of a weaver's beam and ran. It would have been easy. If them two lion-like men from Moab had come up against him and he'd say, you know what, this is not a good day to fight. I think I'll leave. I don't know. I think he did sort of like, have you ever seen the movie, oh, never mind, I won't even talk about that. But he looked those two lion-like men that from Moab, they were fighters. They were strong. And he didn't run. He just said, hey, I think I can do this. With God on my side, I believe I can take them. I believe I can do it. He didn't run. He did it. You know what? If he hadn't took them on, he hadn't done what he needed to do when he needed to do it, God could not, David could not have advanced him. He would not have been able to use him in a greater capacity. He would have stayed, he would have been relegated to the ranks of a private. He would have continued to be on the front lines fighting instead of being on the front lines leading the fight. No, he was able. He was elevated. He was advanced. He was given promotion because he was willing to fight the fight when it needed to be fought, not waiting on somebody else to do it. His genealogy of success can be traced right back to the lion and his fight in the pit. It was fight or flight. Fight or fright. He didn't get scared and run. Now, he might have been afraid. He may have been frightened. But he looked at it and said, I can do it. Why is that? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. I'm going to take it on. See, his name means the Lord builds. He was faced with a choice that would determine his destiny. You know what? You and I are faced with choices that will determine our destiny. Are you going to run or are you going to fight? You're going to be like so many that show up and say, hey, I'm here. Well, you're going to be here next Sunday. Oh, yeah, I'm here for the long haul, Pastor. You'll never run me off. Now, first off, it's like until I'll get back on where I'm going here in a minute. Why would they think I would have tried to run them off? Has somebody been talking to them? Somebody been lying to them? I don't try to run anybody off. I want to try to build you up. In that process, it might get rough sometime. I'm not a diplomat. I'm just a preacher. So sometimes what I say might hurt. It may come out wrong. But I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. And I want to help you today. I want you to understand when we're faced with a choice that may determine our spiritual destiny, it's time to run towards the battle and give chase, not run away. But you have a choice today. You either can run away or you can give chase. What are you going to do? No guts, no glory. You ever heard that statement? We used to use a lot when we was kids. No guts, no glory. And I guess people still use it today. In other words, no courage, no glory. You don't have the courage to step out on faith and do what God's asked you to do. You'll never have any glory in your life. Although you shouldn't be doing it for your glory, you'll not bring glory to God. What was my scripture reading earlier that we read as we began the story? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, and in these things I delight. What God wants you to do is bring glory to his name, and you cannot bring glory to him if you run from every obstacle that comes your direction. If you are afraid to fight the fight of faith, if every time there's something comes up, you turn tail and run, you lack courage. I'm telling you, church, today, you must have some courage so that you can bring glory to God. You must be willing to step out on faith and chase the lions. If you don't, God will be robbed of his glory. It's not about us receiving glory. It's not about us receiving accolades. It's about God and his glory. It belongs to him by rights. We must guard against becoming too defensive and go on the offense. If you read Ephesians, the sixth chapter, I'd have to turn over there and tell you for sure, but it talks about the armor of God. Fifth or sixth chapter. It tells you to put on the whole armor and fight the fight of faith. Church, we are commanded to do this. We are expected by God to do this. We are to give chase and fight this fight. We don't want to be so passive that we walk out on God. So afraid to get our hands dirty that we never enter a battle. I'm going to tell you, you've got to fight the fight. You got to enter the battle. I believe God is trying to raise up some lion chasers. Some people that do something for him. Someone that's not afraid to get in the fight. Maybe we should not let this year end without beginning to fight the fight and chase lions. Fight this fight of faith. We've been passive too long. Apathy has filled our hearts and caused fear to come in. We have nothing to fear. What was it? Is it John F. Kennedy said that? One president said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We have nothing to fear as God-fearing Christians. We need to get in the fight. Finish this race. Finish the course. Let's unleash the lion chaser within. You can do it. Here's what the Word of God says concerning us when we... Now, there's a lot more scriptures than this, but just a few scriptures I jotted down, and I want to share with you about five or six here. As you think about getting in the race or getting into the fight, chasing some lions today. Philippians 1:27 says that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be afraid of those who would fight you. Don't be afraid of the devil and his crowd. You're overcomers. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Anytime you jump into the pit, understand that the greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to worry about that. You are greater because of him that is in you than he that's in the world. In Romans 8:37, yea, in all things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him that loved us, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can't do it, Pastor. Yes, you can, because you can do all things through him who strengthens you, through Christ who strengthens you. Romans 8:28, and this we know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. all things work together. In Romans 8:31, if God be for us, then who can be against us? We need to, that's just a few scriptures. The Bible is full of scripture that tells you that you are an overcomer, that you can defeat the enemy, that you can fight the fight of faith and be victorious in it. Will you always win? Not in the sense that we think about winning, but yes, you can always win in the fight of faith. You might lose a battle, but you've won the victory. You might have a setback every now and then, but you are still more than a conqueror. And I tell you, it's through Him that loved you. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord today that you can fight the fight and win. You can do it in Christ's name. Amen? God's looking for some lion chasers. Somebody chase a few lions. Somebody say, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Not only can I will. I will do it. I'm not going to be defeated anymore in Jesus' name. Well, would you stand with me? Oh, shucks, I got 10 more minutes. Sit down. I'm going to keep going. No, I'm kidding. Stand up.